So, in the past few weeks, Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, have announced that they would be stepping down from their royal duties. I'm sure everyone is aware of this. It's been all over the news. They've decided to distance themselves from the royal family and walk away from everything that they have known. Some of us probably can't understand this. What would cause someone to turn and to walk away from the source of their treasure, their fame, their fortune? But Harry and Meghan are certain that there's something else that's more important to them than any of those things. And today I want to talk to you about someone else who decided to take a step away from their royal links some 3,500 years ago. Except for him, the consequences were much more severe. He wasn't just stepping away from his treasures, his fame and fortune, but by doing so, he was stepping into a life of slavery and mistreatment, choosing to identify with the very least in society. Moses didn't make this decision lightly. He thought through an important question and decided that this was the path he wanted to take. So this morning I'd like us to consider that question, the question that Harry and Meghan have been considering, the question that Moses did, and the same one that we face every day. And the question is, who do you serve? Our world provides plenty of options of different things that we can choose to serve, things that tempt us to give our time, our energy, our money, and our worship to other than God. And we're just going to consider a couple of these things and look at the choices that Moses faced and that we face. So our actual passage this morning is from Hebrews 11, verses 23 to 26. That says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." So just a few short verses, but we've heard some of the context from our reading from Exodus, and I'll be referring back to that. So the verses in Hebrews pick it up and start with Moses' parents. And Moses' parents are disobeying a direct order from Pharaoh. Joseph, we read, had brought the Israelites to Egypt many years earlier because of a famine in his own land. But now there's a new king, and this guy, he doesn't know Joseph. In fact, he sees the Israelites as a threat. He's concerned that the Hebrew men might join up in rebellion against the Egyptians, and so he decides to stamp down his authority. First, he brings in a law that enslaves them and makes them work. But the Israelites' numbers keep rising, and with that, the threat that they pose. So he brings in another law to put a stop to this population growth. He orders the Hebrew midwives that when they're helping the mothers give birth, if the baby turns out to be a boy, they're to kill him immediately. In Exodus, we read that the midwives feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, so they ignored his orders. Pharaoh responds by strengthening his law and so that to all the people, so that any Hebrew infant boy should be thrown into the Nile. So the story in Exodus 2 then focuses in on a particular family. A husband and wife have a baby, and it's a boy. So we all know what that means. But risking their own lives, Moses' parents decide to hide the child for 3 months until it's too old to be hidden any longer. At 3 months, I want you to just try and imagine, at 3 months, a baby can laugh maybe for the first time. It can maybe crawl, but it can't, it can maybe roll over, but it can't crawl, it can't feed itself or speak. It's completely helpless. And you, as its parents, are so afraid for the child's life, but you think that its chances of survival are greater in a basket on the River Nile than they are staying with you. That's the situation they're in. So Moses was born into a pretty low period for the Israelites. Pharaoh has just set out these orders, and the people, they're enslaved, they're being forced to give up their own baby boys. And it's in this situation and under this threat that we can see a real temptation to bow down to the ruling authority. There's a temptation to serve power. And it's up on the screen in case you're trying to figure out what I just said. Power. I struggle with that word. But I was warned to make sure it's up in writing so you know what I'm talking about. Pharaoh rules this town. He is the most powerful man about, and he decides who lives and who dies. What then gives the midwives the strength to disobey him and to let the baby boys live? What gives Moses the courage, Moses' parents, the courage to hide him for 3 months? In Exodus 1, verse 17, we read the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them. Weren't the midwives afraid of Pharaoh, or weren't they afraid for their own lives? Well, yes, but the key thing is that they feared God even more. Similarly, Moses' parents, we read in Hebrews, hid him for 3 months after he was born because they did this by faith. Faith which meant they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents risked their own lives to save Moses by faith. So you see that they saw that Pharaoh's threats, they were real, and yes, he was powerful, but they had faith that God was even more powerful. So what supplies this faith? We read in verse 23, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen's speech sheds some more light on this. Verse 20 says that baby Moses was beautiful in God's sight. Not quite sure what it was about the baby, but something told them that God had plans for him. God had plans to use this child. He was going to lead them out of captivity and to their promised land. And God's plans were much bigger than the threats and the power of Pharaoh. But what does this mean for us? We don't live in a country where the lives of our children are under threat, nor are we subjected to forced labour because of our faith. But we do live in an increasingly hostile secular culture, a culture where often the Christian view is unpopular and taking a stand for it is uncomfortable. The answer is not to try and brush away or diminish the power that opposes us. The answer is to measure it up against the power of our God. We can see that for all the power of the world, God is more powerful. He's bigger and stronger than anything else that can face us. And how can we be confident in him, in his power? Because he raises the dead. Jesus died on a cross and is raised to life. God promises that same resurrection to all who believe in him. If you're a believer in Jesus, whatever you face, the real life threats to our health, our income, whatever, the God who raised Jesus is the God who can raise you. In a very real way, Moses' life should have ended. And yet, due to the actions of faith by his parents, it came that he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. A high and respected position. This is the family that he grew up in. He was taught to read and write as an Egyptian, to reason like an Egyptian. In Acts we read, in Acts 7, 21 and 22 we read, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. And this introduces an extra dynamic to Moses' decision that we didn't see in his parents. See, not only was he putting himself in danger by identifying with God's people, but he was also giving something up, his position of luxury and authority. You might think it's one thing for a mother and father who are living as slaves to risk themselves by hiding their child from danger. But it's another for a prince of Egypt, a wealthy man with everything that he could want, to turn his back on everything and give it all up to identify himself with a slave. And so this is the second thing that I want us to consider this morning, pleasure. Verses 24 and 25 in Hebrews say, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." Moses had the life. He had fame and fortune, the life that some of us maybe dream of, and yet he gave it all up. I want to be clear that these things that he were given up, that they were costly. It was painful to turn away from his family in Egypt. It was painful to give up the things that he'd been used to. And Moses knew this ahead of time. Yet he chose the mistreatment rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Following Christ is costly. There are things that we have to give up to do that. There are things that mean we're going to have to suffer for that rather than to enjoy the pleasures that sin has to offer in this lifetime. And that's maybe something that some people get mixed up on. They believe that when you become a Christian, life's going to always get easier and easier. But it's not true. Often it becomes harder and more complicated. So why do it then? Moses' decision, although costly, is made because he had faith that God is better than any of the pleasures and all of the pleasures that this life has to offer. R.T. Kendall writes, "In Moses' case, the incongruity of his secular education and his ungodly behavior is outweighed by his resolution to be what he knew he was, a Hebrew, a child of God. The knowledge of this outweighs any earthly pleasure, for earthly pleasures are, at best, for a season. The knowledge that one is a child of God issues in a joy that lasts forever." Moses was the Prince Harry of ancient Egypt. No one would have guessed that he would have given that up for anything. Until long ago, most of us probably wouldn't have expected Harry to give that up either. And the question arises, why would you do this? Plenty of ink has been used in the tabloids discussing Harry and Meghan's decision. It sticks with people. Why would someone do this? It doesn't make sense. There's maybe less speculation needed when it comes to Moses. Moses turned his back on his family and chose to identify with God's people by faith. Not because he didn't recognize Pharaoh's power, not because he didn't value the things that that life had to offer, but because he saw that God is bigger and he's better than what life had to offer. But it's one thing saying these things and believing it in our heads. It can be another thing following him each and every day. Moses saw what the world had to offer, and he saw that it just didn't measure up. Egypt and all its treasures and riches wasn't enough. He saw that it will pass, but Moses was looking ahead to his reward. And that brings us to my third point. The real answer to the question I posed at the start, who will you serve? Not being motivated by the power that opposes us or the pleasure this world has to offer, but motivated by the prize that God has promised us. Verse 26 reads, He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. We see here that Moses looked at the options in front of him, and after consideration, he decided that disgrace for the sake of Christ was worth more. So why did he make this decision? Moses saw that everything the world threatens and everything the world has to offer is just temporary. But the prize that is offered by God is lasting. We see here that Moses looks at the options in front of him. And if you're here this morning and you've not yet put your faith in Christ, I'd urge you to consider this today. Nothing in this world, no pleasure, no money, no success, can offer you the same thing that Jesus Christ can. Believing in him may make life harder. That isn't hidden. It might be more complicated, and it will be costly and uncomfortable at times. But as the writer of Hebrews says, the reproach of Christ is of a greater reward. Without Jesus Christ, there can be no forgiveness of your sins, no heaven awaiting you, and no relationship with the living God. And these things are a far greater reward than any cost, far greater than anything you can find. So I urge you just to consider this decision. Where are my priorities? Am I looking to the here and now, or am I looking ahead to the long term? For those of us already trusting in Jesus, we're faced with these same choices on a daily basis, to enjoy the pleasures that sin offers us every day, or to identify with him, to take that stand that, as I've said, can make you feel uncomfortable. You might look silly in front of your peers because of the decisions you make. You might, it will be costly, but we can see that although costly in the short term, it more than pays off in the long term. God has a prize stored up for us that will last forever. Moses faced the temptation to serve power and decided that God was bigger. He faced the temptation to follow pleasure, but he decided God was better. He carefully considered the option and decided that the prize offered to him by Christ was worth more than anything in this world. But it's one thing believing God in our heads and even proclaiming it. It can be another thing following him and following his plans each and every day instead of our own plans, trusting him to know what's best. At the age of 40, Moses, doing so well, it seemed at this stage, he's decided he's going to revoke his position. He's going to identify with the people. He thinks he's going to be their liberator. He's going to be the savior to these people, and he's going to lead them out of captivity. We read in Acts that he decides to take matters into his own hands. Verses 23 to 27 of chapter 7 say, "When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?' But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?' When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons." Moses may well have had good intentions, but his plans weren't God's plans. God had other ideas, and it turns out that God did in fact plan for Moses to be the liberator and the savior of his people that he tried to be. But Moses' timing was a little bit off. God instead lets Moses flee for his safety out of the country to learn some more lessons. It'll be another 40 years before Moses is called back at the age of 80 by that stage to lead the Israelites out of slavery. But when he does, he'll do it God's way. Not by force, but by faith. He might have thought he was going to lead a rebellion, but instead, he wasn't to lead an army, but to proclaim faithfully God's word and let him do all the heavy lifting. I wonder what Moses was thinking when he was running away from Egypt, running for his life from Pharaoh. Mustn't he have been crying out to God, saying, "Why, Lord? I gave up everything. I gave up my position of power, the authority that I had, the pleasure that I was used to. I put myself in danger to save the Hebrews, only to be rejected by them and sent running." And I wonder, do we ever have similar thoughts? Why, God? Why are you doing things this way? I've taken a stand. I've tried to do what's right. Why are you letting these things happen to me? There's a quote by C.S. Lewis where he talks about this internal battle that we have. He says, "Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He is getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting an extra floor here, running up towers and making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself." God doesn't want us to worry about his plans and purposes for our lives. Instead, he tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Sometimes we're not going to understand what's going on, but he asks us to trust him, not to lean on our own understanding, but to lean on him. These are just some of the key fronts which battle for our worship, our time and our attention on a daily basis. Only by faith can we shun these things and instead serve God. Only by faith can we have the courage to reject the power of the world. Only by faith can we refuse the pleasures that it has to offer. And only by faith can we have the long-term vision to regard disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater treasure than anything in this world. Only by faith can we hand over control to our lives in ways that we don't understand. To defy the power of the world is hard, but God is bigger. To reject the pleasures that sin has to offer is uncomfortable, but God is better. Instead, we are to look ahead to God's promised prize. God offers us the free gift of salvation through his Son, who he sent to die and take our sins. He offers us the opportunity to identify ourselves with him, but he doesn't hide the cost. Identifying ourselves with Christ means distancing ourselves from our position in the world. It means making enemies with the powers here and giving up the pleasures that that it has to offer. It means giving over control of our lives in this world in a way that is uncomfortable. Years ago, Moses measured up the different options and decided that God's offer outweighed the offer of the world. Many since have agreed, but many have decided that this cost is too dear for them. These are the terms that he's given, but the question remains for each and every one of us to make. Who will you serve?